The Gospel according to John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. One of our very little girls came to me recently and said, "Pastor, how do you know December 25th is the day Jesus was born and we celebrate it as Christmas?" I said, "I don't. But we ought to pick some day. And there's some good reasons for picking that time of year and that day." And I say to you this every day that we ought to remember that Christ came, no doubt about that. But I enjoy the children and others asking questions, and we try to give them answers from the Bible or always truthful answers. As you have your Bible open to John chapter 1, the Bible says, beginning with verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark an expression in this 14th verse. The Word was made flesh. And please connect that with verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We're speaking here of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, absolute deity. If he is not, the entire Bible is unreliable. But he is. He is God. And the Bible says the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and tabernacled or dwelt among us. What a story to think that he came into his own world. And his own people received him not. When we read this portion of Scripture, we go further back than in any other book of the Bible. The gospel penman here, the Apostle John, was used of God to give us the books of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and the revelation of Jesus Christ in the last book of the Bible. It was at least 50 years after Matthew and Mark and Luke had finished their gospel records, that John was used of God to give us this gospel record. Now, he spent, as you know, 3.5 years with Jesus in what we call the Holy Land. But he outlasted all the other disciples of the Lord with many years to ponder and think upon what he witnessed in his own heart. As he says, how he saw him transfigured into his glorious likeness that he would come in. He gives us that record in his word. But God gave him the privilege to pen this gospel record. And it is a gospel record that has one great goal, and that's to present Christ to us as he truly is. And we shall talk about that in just a moment. If you read through the gospel according to John, you're not going to find parables. It's as though John is always getting to the point of who Christ is. Declaring here in the opening word, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the Word, the expression of invisible things or thing. He's the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's not to imply that Christ was some created being, but the Bible tells us the Word was made flesh. A robe of flesh. And in that robe of flesh, nothing necessarily distinctive about the flesh, just as there was nothing distinctive from many other things in the tabernacle, in the wilderness. But he came to tabernacle or dwell among us for a time, not to live forever, but for a time to dwell on earth, to accomplish what God deemed for him to accomplish. The verse we all memorized early in our Christian lives, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God the Son. When we speak of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. The person of God the Father, the person of God the Son, the person of God the Holy Spirit. And God gives us glimpses into those three persons in his word. And so we have this understanding that there's not three gods, but one God. But I want us just to dwell on this phrase we find in the 14th verse. The Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. Think of it. Made flesh. Did not begin to exist. He had no beginning. He has no ending. God the Son is co-equal, co-existent, eternally existent with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. But he was made flesh, incarnate, robed in flesh. I want our children, our young people, and of course all of our adults, every Christian, to be able to explain to people concerning Christmas that it was when the Word was made flesh. We have given attention to the announcement of Christ's birth to the Virgin Mary, and Mary was to bring forth what God sent forth into the world. He had no human father. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, carried in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And just as a woman would carry a baby for 9 months and then the baby be delivered, when it came time for her to be delivered, God gives us the record of it. Especially in Luke chapter 2, the record of the birth of this baby boy and who he is. The virgin-born Son of God. And so, when we dwell on the statement, the Word was made flesh, may God enlarge our thinking to give a greater gratitude for what God has done for us when he sent his only Son to be our Savior. I'd like you to write down the expression, the person. The person. Who is this person? Who is he? Everything we say about God, we can accurately say about Christ. All the attributes we attribute to God, we can attribute to Christ. It's Christ revealing God to us. The Word. What is a word? here the definite article, the word. The word has to do with an expression of something that is invisible, becoming visible. God wants us to know him. He wants you to know him. He wants me to know him. Do you know him? Have you received him? Have you asked him to forgive your sin and by faith trust him as your Savior? Do you truly know him? In reality, there ought to be more evangelistic effort given during the Christmas time than any other time of the year. But most likely, there's less effort given during the Christmas time. The secular celebration of Christmas, which all of us are engaged in to some extent, we're fighting that all the time. But the secular celebration of Christmas has taken over the truth of Christmas. And there are people who could tell you more about the names of the reindeer than they could tell you about the names of the disciples of our Lord. These fictitious characters. Even when I was a boy, I was taught to believe by my family in these Christmas tales about things. I say very little of it publicly. I try to teach families how to deal with these kinds of things. But the truth of the matter is, do you know the Lord Jesus? For God to do such an amazing thing that the Word, who is God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Think of it. The person of God made flesh and dwelt among us. Do you want to know the Lord? Well, did you know that God has given knowledge of himself? Hold your place here just for a moment. And turn with me to the Psalms, would you please? To Psalm 19, let's read a bit of it. And the Word of God says in Psalm 19, beginning with verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So God has declared himself to all humanity in creation. Think of the beauty of it, the creation. Some of us have had the privilege to see some of the things that are called wonders of the world in creation. But they're things created, spoken into existence by the very hand of God. And they're given to us to declare that God is alive, God is real, that he speaks into existence these things and spoke this way according to the Word of God. And we believe that. Let's turn again to the book of Romans just for a moment. When Paul wrote this book of Romans, the Word of God says in Romans chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Notice, please, in verse 20 of chapter 1, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're out without excuse. People say, I just don't see it. That's because they're blind. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are blind. The God of this world had blinded them, lest they believe the glorious gospel of Christ. Look again, please. God's revealed himself in chapter 2. He says in verse 14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Verse 15 of chapter 2 in Romans, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Notice the word conscience. You have a conscience, and your conscience bears witness to you that there is a God. Every person who's ever lived knows there's a God by creation. And every person who's ever lived knows there's a God by conscience. Many are plowing over their conscience, stamping over their conscience, doing everything they can to deny the existence of God. But the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there's no God because he's trampling over his own conscience, crying out to him, there is a God. And then God has given this written revelation. God's revealed himself in his word. The Bible is given to us to reveal the Lord to us. Progressively, we see God declaring his existence in the very opening of Scripture. In the beginning, God created. And then he goes through the Word of God, declaring to us his existence, enlarging upon it, telling us he's the only God, he's the almighty God, he's a God with whom nothing is impossible. This is all given to us in the Word of God. Do you believe the voice of nature? Do you believe the voice of conscience? Do you believe the voice of the written Word of God? Well, then we come to read and have the world witness that the God of heaven and earth, the eternal God of self-existence, became flesh. It's really more than our minds can take to think who this person is. Mary held him as a baby. The carpenter shop in Nazareth witnessed his going about as a boy. The temple was witness of him as a 12-year-old in Jerusalem. Nazareth knew him from the home of Joseph and Mary. But he is God. He is God. You take this whole wide world and everything you know about this whole wide world and the billions of people who are alive and the billions of people who have lived, and he is unique among all others. The flesh was flesh covering over Christ, the Son of God. The Word became flesh. Then I want you to consider with me, if you would, not only his person, but his power. Early, John declares this. Listen, as an old man, God gives him these things to write. Others are gone to glory. John is left, and he's writing these words. Listen to them. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was the life, was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 3 says, all things were made by him. If you've ever stood and watched the Niagara Falls on the border of Canada and America, you can say, Christ made that. That's his power. If you've ever been awed by things in nature, you can declare, Christ made that. If you've ever pondered over the function of something in your body and how it works, the vision in your eyes, the nervous system of your body, your hearing, and all the things involved in that, the way God has designed you, fearfully and wonderfully made, so that you can say, I want my finger to move. Or someone asks you a question and you can cognitively answer it. I want you to know he created that. That's his power. Think about what humility. When the God who made the world became a man without ceasing to be God. Let me read more about it in the book of Colossians. Would you turn there with me, please, in Colossians chapter 1, speaking of Christ as the one and only. Not one of, but the one and only. The Bible says in verse 12 of chapter 1, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image? Remember, the Word made flesh. Who is the image of the invisible God? God tells us he's the express image of the invisible God. Nothing is absent that we would attribute to God in the Lord Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. That's why the word logos, a word, is used. You can't know a thought, it's invisible. There are things that we cannot see with our human eyes. But God allowed us to see God in the person of God the Son, who was robed in flesh and full of grace and truth, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. It's all held together. It would all fly apart if it not for the Lord Jesus. When I think about his power, how is it demonstrated? In the power of the atom? In the power of nuclear explosions? How is it demonstrated? This leads me to the third thing I want you to write down. Not just his person and his power, but his purpose. Why? Why was God made flesh? Why did the Word become flesh and dwell among us? Can your children answer this? Do they know how to explain this? Can you tell a stranger why God became flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us? When people speak of the subject of Christmas, are you ready to tell them who this person truly is? Are you ready to speak of his power and to speak of his purpose? In the gospel record we have, in the gospel according to John, John writes the purpose of this incarnation, this robing in flesh, near the end of the book. I want to read it to you. Would you look at it, please? In John chapter 20, this is what the Word of God says. As God is coming to this juncture in this gospel epistle, the Bible says in verse 30 of John chapter 20, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which were not written, they're not written in the book. So much of what he did, we don't have the record of. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you might have life through his name. The Word became flesh, demonstrating God's person, giving us visual sight of one full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh, demonstrating his power. The powerful acts we have recorded in the gospel according to John actually take us back to eternity in the past. No beginning, no starting place, but when the world was spoken into existence, when the stars were made, when the moon and sun created, when things set in orbit, when oceans were bound up, seas were made, birds created, animals created, when man was created, and the way they were created, Jesus did all of that. He's the creator. And he came down to earth and became a man without ceasing to be God, to go to the cross and pay our sin debt. What a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. This is his purpose. An old man outliving his companions with half a century plus to ponder all these things was given this record to write. And when he wrote it, he says, this is why I've written it. He says, that believing you might have life through his name. Have you had the supernatural birth? Have you had it? Have you been born again? Have you done more than just finish a checklist and say, I believe this and this and this? Has your soul been redeemed? Have you come as a lost, hell-deserving, hell-bound sinner with no hope in this world, with something so dire in need that education won't answer it, family won't solve it? Only the Son of God can wash your sins away and give you eternal life and come to live in you. When our Lord prayed before he went to die on the cross, we find this in his prayer. In verse 3 of John 17, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He was sent. God the Son sent to become flesh, to go to the cross, and to provide for us eternal life. There has to be a time in your life when you come to God and ask God to forgive your sin. And by faith, you believe that the Son of God is the only way of salvation. God has provided that way of salvation for us all, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the purpose for why he became flesh.